less than a month away now from the November 2016 midterm elections. Many people, from President Donald Trump on down, are vitally interested in what's going to happen when the dust clears after November 6th and why it happened. I'll talk today with Gallup senior editor Lydia Sod about just the questions about what is going to happen and why it might happen. And then our big number of the week, we'll look at Americans' views of Vice President Mike Pence. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Frank Newport, and we welcome you to our Gallup podcast. With us today, again, is Lydia Sod, Gallup senior editor, and a person who's been analyzing U.S. elections and U.S. polling about elections here at Gallup since 1992, when you were just a child. Right, Lydia?
I was barely talking, Frank.
Absolutely. At any rate, welcome back to our podcast. Let's start out with a question that everybody asked me, Lydia. When the dust settles, as I mentioned just a minute ago, after the November 6th midterms, who will be in control of the House and who will be in control of the Senate? Do we know?
Well, certainly nobody knows, but there's a lot of important indicators to look at. And as a spectator of this sport, I guess my answer would be it looks pretty good for the Democrats to take the House, and it looks like the Republicans may hang on in the Senate, but both of those situations are fluid enough that I wouldn't bet anything on it.
Yeah, it's a kind of a weaselly approach, so to speak, to say, well, anything can change, but it's true, right? We're you know, 3 or 4 weeks away now, and it's true. Anything can change between now and Election Day.
I don't think it's so much a matter of things changing, but that just how these things manifest themselves. So like right now, we have a bunch of generic ballots out there being conducted nationally that show an average of the Democrats up by 7-8 points. But this is with a range of it being tied or 2 points, 2-point lead for the Democrats all the way to a 13-point lead. So, you know, people are putting a lot of faith in averages to be, you know, confident that that sort of 7-8% number is correct for the Democrats.
I look back in the last midterm election, the turnout was about 37% of eligible voters based on one estimate. That's usually a moving target because you have to have a denominator when you calculate that. But little edges in turnout, motivation at the last minute on either side can make a big difference, particularly in some of these swing districts. So that's what I think could be a deciding factor, don't you, between now and election?
Sure. You know, if the margin in the end is something closer to 5 or 6 point lead for the Democrats on the generic ballot among likely voters, and then Republicans squeeze out a little more enthusiasm at the end and turn out in higher numbers. Republicans don't usually have to win in the two-party national vote to get a majority of the seats, but they have to kind of cut their margin against the Democrats to like within 5 points. So they're kind of right on the cusp of being where they might be able to hold majority and not. They're certainly going to lose seats. I don't think there's too much question about that.
Right now, of course, Republicans control the White House. They control the House. They control the Senate. That's nice for them, just like it was nice for the Democrats back when Obamacare was passed, when they controlled the relevant bodies in the White House. So what about that? Do you think that's a motivating factor that Republicans say we have to at all costs keep control of both houses, or else with Democrats at least in control of the House, that could really spoil what Donald Trump's trying to do and create chaos?
Obviously, Trump right now is making this an issue, trying to stir up interest in voting by saying if we lose the House, you know, we're going to have mob rule in Washington. So that, you know, that could trigger something with Republicans. And we see right now a record high interest among Republicans in having Congress and the president be from the same party. Normally, when we ask this question, which is better for the country, to have the president and Congress from the same party or different parties, the same party as the president in power is always more likely to say one party government is better than the divided government, and vice versa. The party out of power
stands to reason. Right?
Stands to reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're thinking more in terms of the current day than in an ideal situation. Because when the situation's flipped and there's a Democratic president, Democrats say one party control. Why don't they say that when Republican is in power? Well, they're thinking, well, right now, I would just take divided government as better than what's going on right now. But it's really interesting that Republicans are kind of off the historical chart right now in terms of saying they want one party control. 59% say that right now. And the highest it ever was in a midterm year previously was 48% in 2002, which was like the post 2000, 9/11 rally year around Bush. And Democrats, when during the Obama years, were never quite as enthusiastic about having one-party control as Republicans are today.
And speaking of Donald Trump, as we just were, his approval right now is 43% as we're talking on a Gallup number. But I would say it's fair to say it's between 40 and 45%. Based on what we've seen over the last almost 2 years now, it's probably going to stay in that range. I look back, and that's not out of sync with where other presidents have been. Barack Obama in the 2010 midterm election was at 44% approval, and then his party lost, I believe, 63 seats in that election. But then Obama in 2014 in that midterm election, his approval was in that 41 to 43% range, and they only lost 13 seats. So I don't know. I mean, as you mentioned a moment ago, in 2002 was an unusual election. Bush was still enjoying the rally effect after 9/11. He had very high approval rating, and his party actually gained seats. But 2006 was a little more definitive. His approval rating was in the 30s, and Republicans lost 30 seats. I guess all that by way of saying, Lydia, that Trump's approval rating right now doesn't necessarily give us a strong predictor of what's going to happen, or would you disagree with that?
Well, it so you're right. Obama was in the mid to low 40s in his two midterms, and his party lost seats. I mean, one reason they didn't lose so many seats in 2014 with that number is that they'd already lost 63 seats the year, the midterm before. So you factor in kind of the normal vote, as they call it, and he didn't have as much to lose, but certainly did lose with that number. So I think with a presidential approval rating in the 43% range, Trump can count on losing seats. And our colleague Jeff Jones did an analysis of Gallup data historically and showed that when a president's approval rating is under 50%, his party loses an average of 37 seats. I plugged in some numbers taking the president's final pre-election approval rating in every midterm back to 1990 and comparing that to seat change. And it's like, bingo, with a 43% approval rating, this model would predict that Republicans lose 37 seats.
A couple of other indicators we look at: satisfaction with the way things are going in the country, which is similar to the right track, wrong track question that a lot of pollsters ask, and also economic confidence, that is Americans' views of the U.S. economy. Satisfaction, Lydia, views of the economy are pretty positive, at least they were last time we measured it. Now with the stock market going down a lot, maybe that's going to change. What do you think? What do those two indicators tell us in a nutshell?
So those present very different pictures than Trump approval. If we just looked at Trump approval and said that's what's predictive, we'd say, gosh, the party is going to lose control. That's clear as day. But then you look at satisfaction, it's not terrible. It's not great. 38%, kind of in the middle historically of what we've seen in midterms. And if you compare that to seat change every midterm year, that would suggest Republicans are going to lose 17 seats. So it's going to trim their majority, but they wouldn't lose their majority. But you look at our economic measures, we have asking people to rate the economy today, whether it's getting better or getting worse, whether it's a good time to find a quality job. All of these measures are so extraordinarily positive right now, they would predict seat gains for the Republicans of between 16 and 23 seats. I don't think we believe that's going to happen, but historically, each of these indicators has had a pretty good correlation with seat outcome. The difference this year is that they are going in different directions. Normally, a president's approval rating reflects the economy, and those all offer a similar signal to what's going to happen. Right now, Trump's approval rating is so much worse than the economic environment. We have different signals. And so you might say, we don't know what's going to happen. But then I come back to the generic ballot as being sort of the referee, because that's where people are telling us who they're going to vote for, and that is leaning Democratic. So right now, I think it looks like presidential approval is going to have more influence on people's vote than the economy. But there's another question mark. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be kind of somewhere in between that could help the Republicans squeeze through?
There are a couple of other indicators that I think are pretty interesting that we've looked at from our September governance poll I wanted to mention, Lydia. One was confidence in the legislative branch of government. That went up. A lot of speeches that I make, I talk about, well, Americans are losing confidence in the government and in Congress. And in fact, Congress approval is quite low, in and around 20%. But this confidence in the legislative branch went up. And the reason why, when we look at the data, is that Republicans jumped up 11 points, 38% confidence all the way up to 49%, whereas Democrats stayed essentially the same. So all of a sudden, Republicans are rallying around their branch of government. We also have another question: satisfaction with the way things, the way the nation is being governed, and that also has gone up, not down. And again, the sole reason for that is Republicans. Huge jump from 2017, from 47% to 72% satisfaction among Republicans with the way the nation's being governed. And again, Democrats didn't move at all. So one thought would be that, at least what we picked up in this September poll, Republicans rallying around more positive views of government could give them more impetus, like we've been talking about, to want to get out there and say, we have to keep this good thing going, that is Republican control.
Yep, that's absolutely correct. I think these numbers surprised some people. You know, we got some follow-up questions from other pollsters, for instance, you know, wanting to see our internals to understand how the heck, you know, are Americans more confident in politicians? You know, just is this so out of step with what we hear?
Out of sync with the narrative, even correct. My own narrative that I often talk about.
That's right. So as you say, it's this increase among Republicans, which I find curious that it happened this year, not last year. You would have thought that this would have appeared in the first year of Trump's presidency, but for some reason, there's this delayed effect, even though his approval rating isn't that much higher among Republicans today than it was a year ago, but they're just that much more excited about what's happening in Washington.
Real quickly, tax cut. That was going to be a major issue for Republicans, their passage of the tax cut late in December of last year. But we have some recent data that suggests maybe for Republicans it's still a plus, but it surely doesn't look like it's creating any excitement among independents or Democrats.
Yeah, I don't see it hurting the Republicans, but it's so underwhelming in terms of how it's polling that it doesn't look like it's going to help very much. You know, people split. So 39% approve of the tax bill in our latest poll, 46% disapprove. So not great, but not terrible. And then fewer than 4 in 10 see the tax cuts having a positive impact on their personal situation. So not a lot of incentive for people to go out and reward the Republicans for that. Yeah, so not a big factor this time.
As far as we can see, and anecdotal evidence suggests and buys of ads suggest, or analysis of the ads Republicans are running suggest, they're not really trumpeting that as much as might have been expected. Lydia, we have to go, but I wanted to touch on Hillary Clinton briefly. I say that because a lot of people are interested in Hillary Clinton, like her or don't like her. She's a fascinating personality on the American political scene. We just updated Americans' image of her almost 2 years after she lost the 2016 presidential election. What did the data show? Has she recovered? Is she now seen positively now that that's behind her?
No, she has not recovered, which is interesting. It's out of sync with what normally happens to a defeated presidential candidate. There's usually some sort of bounce back to a more few points, at least, if not a lot of points, as they get out of the political spotlight. She ended the campaign last year with a 43% favorable rating right before the election. And then right after the election, after she lost, Democrats' favorability of her dropped about 10 points, which brought her overall rating down to about a 36. And that's where she is today. It hasn't improved by 1 point. So she is holding steady at her record low since the election.
And part of that may reflect the fact that Donald Trump has not let Americans forget Hillary Clinton. He continues, of course, in his tweets and his rallies and speeches to demonize Hillary Clinton. So that certainly kept her negative image alive, particularly on the Republican side of the ledger. Well, I think one of the abiding messages that we have come up with here, Lydia, is that it looks at least like the odds would tilt towards the Democrats winning the House, probably not the Senate. But I think we put enough caveats into this discussion that if we're sitting here talking after November 6th, which we may want to do, Lydia, we wouldn't be totally shocked if that doesn't happen. That summarize it well for you?
Sure does. I look forward to that conversation.
Lydia Saad, Gallup senior editor, who's been analyzing elections for many years here at Gallup. Thank you for being with us on the Gallup podcast.
Thanks, Frank.
And our big number of the week, 43%. That's the percent of Americans who have a favorable opinion of Vice President Mike Pence of Indiana. That number needs to be put in the context of his unfavorable percent, which is 42%. So 43-42 puts Pence right at about an equal positive and negative. And that's pretty good as these things go. His boss, Donald Trump, has a 41% favorable, 58% unfavorable rating in the same poll. Now, the big difference there is that 15% of Americans don't know enough about Vice President Pence to have an opinion. That's not shocking. He's not in the news all that much, right? We don't see or hear of him very much. And Donald Trump, of course, has a 1% don't know. Everybody has an opinion about Donald Trump. So all in all, Pence right now is on an even keel. About the same number of Americans see him positively as see him negatively. That's our Gallup podcast for this week. We ask you to subscribe to our podcast and be brought up to date every week on what people around the world and here in the United States are thinking and feeling. I'm Dr. Frank Newport, Gallup Editor-in-Chief. Thank you for listening.